Everybody take your Bibles, please, and stand. Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's word. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to read a few verses this morning, 7 through 16. Daniel chapter 6, verses 7 through 16. Starting in verse 7, the Bible says, "And all the presidents of the kingdom, and the governors, and the princes, and the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition in any of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast in the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it may be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Therefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knee 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication unto his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, This thing is true, according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he had heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled toward the king, and said to the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which is the king's established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now this king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just meet with us. Dear Heavenly Father, I feel like I just need you this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a very awesome pastor. But dear Heavenly Father, he's not feeling well. And dear Heavenly Father, our church still needs to hear from you. And we pray that you would just meet with us this morning and just use me and as you see fit. Heavenly Father, be with our pastor this morning. And I pray that you just help us to learn from your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be honest with you, from time to time, filling in this pulpit, I feel like God has given us a very, very great pastor. And it's difficult to stand up here and try and fill his shoes. And he is a pastor that I respect greatly, but I believe God has given me this message, and like I said earlier this morning, I believe that it's not necessarily the man that matters standing behind this pulpit so much as the message that the man is delivering and where it came from. And I'll be honest with you, at times God has me preach sermons that I feel like I need to work on, and I wonder if that's why God has me prepare them. And this is one of those messages where I feel like, if we're all honest with ourselves, no one has arrived. And we're going to talk about Daniel's prayer life. Daniel's prayer life. And, you know, there's been several times in my life where I've met with people that I felt, when they prayed, heaven stopped to listen. And my mother is one of those. I tell you what, number one is my mom. There's been many, many times, and I've told you stories, and my mom is a great prayer warrior. And I believe that she is the reason why I am standing before you this morning. And because I have a mother that prays and had a mother that prays and has been praying for me for many years. And I'll never forget one time we went to pastor school in Indiana, in the same place that Abby is going to college, and they assembled many pastors together, and I heard that Tom Williams was going to be teaching a class on prayer. Now, I don't know if any of you have heard Tom Williams. Many have said about him, he wouldn't say it about himself, but many have said about him that he is one of the great prayer warriors of this century. And I'll never forget, we sat through a class and he taught on prayer, and it was, to be honest with you, I was sitting through this class and I was expecting some great, great revelation that I didn't know. And the sad part about it is most of what he taught on, I was already familiar with. And, you know, but as he prayed, we, at the end of the class, we got together and we prayed for, I believe it was an hour and a half solid. And, but as you, we all kneeled inside this one classroom, and as we prayed together, it was obvious why God had heard him, as far as he was obviously a very, very great prayer warrior. He, when he was teaching, he told many stories about not to brag, but to brag on God, on how many great and spectacular answers to prayer that he had. Now, the thing about it is most of us want to be able to pray like Daniel and like Tom Williams and others. But the thing about it is are we willing to do what it takes to get to the place where God hears us in such a way? Now, the thing about it is that once again, it's not that these people were anything special. You look at Daniel. He was a man, and he got dressed like everybody else gets dressed. He ate like everybody else ate, except the Bible talked about he would not eat the portion of the king's meat. He was worried about being defiled. And but here's the thing is that Daniel did some practices in prayer that we can apply to our prayer life. And the thing about it is that the great part about it is any one of us in this room can get as close to God as we want. That's a pretty cool thought. Any one of us can become one of those great prayer warriors. The problem is are we willing to do what it takes to get to that point? Bunyan said, prayer is the shield to the soul, a delight to God, and a scourge to Satan. See, the thing about it is Daniel would rather go into a den of lions than to go a night without prayer. Daniel would rather go into a den of lions than to go a night without prayer. Now, too many times, I'll be honest with you, we live our lives and it's a busy life. But the thing about it is too many times we go to bed and we haven't prayed a single time. And, you know, the thing about it is not just, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord for my soul to keep, and so on, or, dearly Father, please bless the food. How many times have we prayed today? And see, Daniel didn't wait until he got in trouble to pray. He got in trouble for praying. And here's the thing is, how many times, and I'm going to get into the message here in a minute, how many times would we pray if the government were to say, if you get found praying, you're going to get thrown in jail? How many times would we pray? So this morning, we're going to look at Daniel's prayer life. Look in verse 10. The Bible says, now Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, and knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And I want to start out. He had a definite practice of prayer. Thing about it is that the Bible says, as he did aforetime. You know, too many times we wait until we get in trouble to start praying. We wait until the bills come in. We wait until sickness comes. We wait until heartache comes. We wait until this, that, and the other. And the thing about it is all of a sudden, then we pray. We feel like, you know what? Well, I'll wait until I have something to bother God about. But the thing about it is when we look at Daniel, he had a prayer life and not just a prayer time. The Bible says, as he did aforetime. It was not the first time that he'd prayed that day. You know, I'll be honest with you. One of the messages that sticks in my head was a sermon Jack Hiles used to preach on pop bottle Christianity. And I'm not going to do the sermon any justice. I'm just going to do a brief overview. He preached about how he used to travel around a lot preaching, and he was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond for many years until he passed away. And he would come to Washington State, where I grew up, and preach several times a year. And I remember one time he talked about, he said he went into the airport, And he decided that he started to get a little thirsty. And you know how many have ever been in a layover in an airport? And he went over to the machine and he walked over and he was shocked at the price of a bottle of pop. Now the thing about it is I was just down in Columbus the other day, and when I was working on the ambulance, I used to go down there and nowadays that you can swipe your credit card to buy a can of pop. And it's pretty bad when they're expensive enough that it makes sense to slide a credit card to purchase a can of pop. I've seen them as high as $5 and $6 for a can of pop. Now, the thing about it is if you go to Kroger on a sale day, there's times where you can get an entire 2 liter for 88 cents. Okay? Now, I'm not promoting Kroger in any way, but my wife's a Krogeraholic. And I'm not joking. But the thing about it is you can get a 2 liter of pop for 88 cents. Now, the thing about it is you can either plan ahead of time and you can buy that 2 liter pop for 88 cents, or you can wait until you're thirsty and you just think that, you know what? A nice ice cold bottle of Dr. Pepper, bless God, that's good preaching, is gonna satisfy my quench my thirst. But the thing about it is you might pay up to $5, have to slide your stinking credit card just to get that bottle of pop. Well, many Christians treat prayer the same way. Rather than develop a prayer life and get in a good relationship with God and walk with God, the thing about it is that, you know what? We wait until we have trouble before we start praying. The thing about it is that I remember hearing a story about a young man that went off to Bible college. And he got busy and he didn't talk to his dad for quite a while. And then all of a sudden, financial trouble happened and he was struggling to pay his bill. And he called up his dad and he said, "Hey, Dad, I need some money to help pay for college." And his dad jokingly around said, "I'm sorry, who is this?" But the thing about it is that what his dad was trying to say is, hey, if you want something, it'd be nice to call other times than just when you want something. Thing about it is a lot of times I've heard it called foxhole Christianity. But the thing about it is that, Daniel prayed. When you look at it, the Bible is very clear at this. Look at verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." See, the thing about it is Daniel had a habit of praying. This wasn't his first prayer. Not only was it not his first prayer, it was three times a day. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 55. Another great verse about prayer, Psalms chapter 55. Got to turn there myself. There's something to be said about this 3 times a week. Several times, or 3 times a day, not 3 times a week. I wouldn't recommend 3 times a week. And Psalms chapter 55 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Now, the thing about it is that he's saying morning, evening, and three times a day. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." What was the Lord trying to say? Hey, listen, we need a prayer. We need a prayer life, and we need a prayer time. The same thing about it is he had a definite practice of prayer. And this is why many people quit church, get mad at the preacher, decide to storm out, is because, you know what? They have not had a definite practice of prayer. Just real quick, I'm going to go through a few verses. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. The Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened." See, the thing about it is if you look at those, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. When you look at those, they are continual asking and asking and asking and asking, seeking and seeking and seeking. See, the thing about it is too many times we just ask once and we leave it alone. We ask once. The Bible says the Bible says that we're supposed to pray without ceasing. You look at those that are continual asking. And I wonder how many of us have prayed about a lost loved one just once. You know, one of the best illustrations I can give of this is my mother had a loved one that was, she has a lot of loved ones that are unsaved. And she was praying for, I believe the number was over 15 years for her sister to accept Christ. And you know what? Right before she passed, she had an opportunity to witness to her sister, and her sister accepted Christ. Now, let me ask you this. Would her sister have accepted Christ had she just once in a while prayed for her? Don't know, but I would guess no. But the thing about it is that we're supposed to continue to ask. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Basically, never give up. You say, well, I prayed for so-and-so for 5 years. I prayed for so-and-so for 6 years. The thing about it is, you know what? We should never give up on prayer. We should never give up on prayer. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Another great verse or another great passage on prayer. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. We need to pray with boldness. Do we believe these verses? Do we believe that when we pray, God hears us? Do we believe that there's a God in heaven that can answer our prayer? Do we believe that God is faithful and just? Do we believe that He is able? You know, we sing in the junior church department, He's able, He's able, I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Then do we pray like it? Do we believe that God is able? Do we believe that God that rained down fire from heaven for Elijah is the same God we're praying to today? Do we believe the same God that delivered Daniel from the lion's den is the same God that we pray to today? Do we believe that the same God that was walking around in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the same God that we pray today? Or do we pray in, not in faith, but in disbelief? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. The Bible has another verse on prayer. The Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And so here's the thing is, he had a definite practice of prayer. Also, the Bible says he had the second thing I want to bring out is he had a definite plan of prayer. He had a definite plan of prayer. Verse 10, he says that three times a day, we need a plan as well. Thing about it is you ever wonder why we pray in Jesus' name? Well, I'm glad you asked. And John chapter 14, and verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, and whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so there's a reason why we pray in Jesus' name. You know, you ever wonder why they take the Lord's name in vain? Because it means something. Because the name of the Lord means something. There's power in His name. And the thing about it is God says that He will not hold him guiltless, him that taketh His name in vain. But turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth, and things under the earth. I believe that part of the reason why the world takes His name in vain is the world doesn't want to bow. They don't want to give reverence to God. And I don't know if they think that that if they take his name in vain, it mocks him, and they can just live in their sin. But the thing about it is the world doesn't believe, the reason why they take God's name in vain is they don't believe that the name of Jesus means anything. They haven't accepted Christ as their personal Savior, or they have walked away from God so far that the Bible says you can actually walk so far away from God that you forget you're saved. And the thing about it is that, listen, the name of the Lord is powerful. And the Bible says that the name of Christ, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. Jesus Christ's name means something. I believe that we should pray in Jesus' name. Number two is we need to confess our sins before praying. Sometimes this can be the hardest part about praying. Psalms chapter 66 and verse 18. Psalms 66 and verse 18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of promises in the Bible that are awesome to claim. This is not one that I want to claim. Just being honest with you. The thing about it is the Bible says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. This verse will either keep us right or keep us defeated. There's no way around this verse. See, the thing about it is just like we tell the young people in Sunday school, can God lie? No, God cannot lie. Is the Bible true? Yes, every word in the Bible is true. And so here's the thing, is if God cannot lie, and every word in the Bible is true, and you know what? And if God cannot break his promises, then why do we think sometimes that we can sin and still allow and still be allowed a prayer life? The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Thing about it is I don't know about you, but I need mercy. I'll be honest with you, whenever I read about mercy in the Bible, I think about my kids. When they were really little, my wife and I were trying to teach them about mercy. And mercy is not getting what you deserve. And so I remember one time I was talking with one of the kids, and I said, listen, you sinned, you transgressed the law. And I was trying to use Bible terms and trying to help them understand. And I said, so therefore there's a punishment. And we had taught them about mercy earlier, and so the one of them started tears rolling down their face and said, mercy, 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 you know, and start calling for mercy. And here's the thing is that's one of those parenting moments where you're having a real hard time keeping a straight face because it's funny. Let's just face it. And here's this kid crying for mercy, and you know, how do you tell a kid, listen, you have a punishment and no mercy. And you know, that's almost impossible. But anyways, they got the punishment in it. No, it's joking. But anyways, but here's the thing is that, listen, when it comes down to it, I don't know about you, but I need mercy. I need mercy. I know how I am. And you know what? It's like the song says, hey, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And, you know, the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, that verse that says, I just had it and I lost it. The things that I would, that I, you know, basically it's saying, hey, listen, I know what I should do, but I have a hard time doing it. And the thing about it is that, listen, we battled the world, the flesh, and the devil, and it seems like the world and the devil hardly even have a part in it. It seems like I battled this flesh more than I battle anything else. It seems like, you know what, that there are times where in my heart I want to get right with God, I want to pray, and I want to walk with God, but you know what, this old flesh, you know, it seems to battle me at every corner. And it's like the pastor that got up in the mirror and you know, he heard all these, the world talking about, you got to go into the mirror and tell you how great you are. And the preacher walked over to the mirror and says, you know what, Flat? You know what? I don't like you a bit. The thing about it is he looked in the mirror and he saw a flesh that he battled with constantly. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, we need mercy because last I checked, none of us are perfect. We're all sinners saved by grace. And the thing about it is you know what? We have a God that gives mercy. I'm so glad I don't get what I deserved. Because you know what I'd get if I got what I deserved? I'd get hell. You know what? You know, too many times nowadays, young people said, you know, that's not fair. That's not fair. You know what? If we got what we deserved, we'd get hell. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible also talks about this deal of confessing sins. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I don't know how many times out soul winning I've knocked on a door. And do you know 100% sure if you were to die today, you'd be on your way to heaven? Well, I'm a good person. And you go through the verses and the Romans road and you go through and the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, I haven't sinned. And then you turn to that verse right there and says, you know what? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, you know what? I don't believe that verse. I'm a good person. And I looked at, you know, you look at him and you say, well, have you ever told a lie? Well, we're done with this conversation. Because you automatically go to Revelation where it talks about Revelation 20 and Revelation 21. The thing about it is God is very clear that we are all sinners. And you know what? The thing about it is we can deny it all we want, but it doesn't make it the fact. Do we really think that we can fool a holy God? So number one is in our plan for prayer, we need to pray in Jesus' name. Number two is confess sins before praying. Because here's the thing, I'll be honest with you. If we don't confess sins before we pray, what good does it do? The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. And so next thing is pray in faith, believing. Turn your Bible. This is James chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The thing about it is we need to pray in faith. Too many times we pray without faith. You know, the thing about it is that we need to pray in faith. Do we believe or don't we? You know, the thing about it is too many times we pray in unbelief. As found in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And you know what? It's just vain repetition. God warns about this. And do we believe that God is going to answer prayers? We need to pray in the will of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. Yeah, the Bible should be our measuring stick. And also, he had a definite place of prayer. And he went in his chambers and he got alone with God. The thing about it is I'm running out of time, but here's the thing is, you know what? Let's study the prayer life of Daniel. Let's study the prayer life of Jesus Christ. You look at it and you know what? Christ has given us an example. And we're not supposed to just, you know, a lot of people think that if we just quote the Lord's Prayer that we're good. The thing about it is the Bible warns us about vain repetition. The thing about it is prayer is talking with a very powerful God. And here's the thing is I don't quote things to my wife when I want her to know that I love her. I tell her, honey, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. I love you. Besides the fact that you're drop dead gorgeous, you are awesome. And here's the thing is, you know what? If I took a quote that Aaron told his wife, honey, it wouldn't mean anything. My wife would be like, all right, you're in a doghouse. But the thing about it is that, listen, we should develop a prayer life. He had a definite purpose in his prayer. He had a definite position in prayer. No revival in America has ever happened because there was no prayer. George Mueller documented 100,000 definite answers to prayer. You ever wonder why God used him? hide. He was called the praying hide and the man who never sleeps. You ever wonder why God used him? Prayer is the most neglected element in the Christian life. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. The thing about it is I'll be honest with you. Now more than ever, we need praying Christians. Now more than ever, so much the more as you see the day approaching, I'll be honest with you. Many churches, thank God that this church is not one of them, but many churches all across America are dying. One of the reasons is because the Christians have gotten away from prayer. Many Christians believe that soul winning is not effective anymore. You want to know why? They've gotten away from prayer. Many Christians believe that holy living isn't a requirement anymore, that it somehow null and voids what's in the Word of God. You want to know why? Prayer. Here's the thing is, you know what? As we pray and as we share our heart with God, you know what will happen? We'll start to draw closer to God. And the thing about it is when we start to get God involved, whether it be our church, whether it be our marriage, whether it be our parenting, whether it be our Sunday school class, whatever ministry you want, whether it be with just dealing with a family member that's lost or maybe a neighbor, I'll be honest with you, great things always happen when we involve a very great God. But when we decide that, you know what, we can do it without prayer, that's when we always fall on our face and God says, listen, I've been here all the time. I've wanted to help you. I've wanted to give you mercy. I've wanted to help you. I've wanted to give you strength to get through these hard times. I've wanted to do so much for you. But you have not because you ask not. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you so much for the examples like Daniel. Dear Heavenly Father, I'll be honest with you. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all have areas in which we can improve. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to the invitation time, I pray that you help us all to make decisions to strengthen our prayer life. Help us to make decisions that would draw us closer to you and get you more involved in our life. Dear Heavenly Father, it just seems like so many heartaches, so many ruined lives out in the world, and so many things that would seem to attack our family, our faith, and our church. And Dear Heavenly Father, so much, it just seems like we need you so much more now than we ever have. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to have a revival of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.